Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've used a portion of these verses in previous messages on tearing down the strongholds. We want to look at these verses again tonight as reminders, and then one verse in chapter 5 and verse 7. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you'll turn there. Tonight's message is on being unbelieving. That's the stronghold that some of us are in. We're unbelieving, being unbelieving. Look at verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Keep in mind we're in a constant warfare with the devil and the demons of hell. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, and what's the purpose of them? To the pulling down of strongholds. That indicates there are strongholds, or we wouldn't need any reason to have that kind of help to pull them down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. A key verse in verse 4, pulling down the strongholds. Now turn back to chapter 5, just one verse. It's a very strong verse, and it's one we need to remember and one we need to understand. It's a very powerful statement of God through the Apostle Paul. And he says in that verse, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Is that true of you tonight? That's the way it's supposed to be. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so Satan knows, he absolutely knows how important faith is in your life, in my life. Think about it and don't minimize it. It's an important thing that we have to have in our lives. Faith is one of the main requirements. The Bible talks about it. Every part of the Christian life needs faith. The just shall live by faith, the Bible says. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, Hebrews 11:6. So Satan knows how important it is, and he'll do all that he can to disturb our faith and our trust and make us not really believe what God can do and what God wants to do with us in many different areas. So the stronghold of unbelief can grow for several reasons, and we'll give an explanation here of some of those. The stronghold of unbelief can grow for several reasons. Number one, because we have a spirit of fear. Because some Christians have a spirit of fear. And when we're afraid, it's hard to maintain faith. When you allow yourself to be fearful. Peter walked on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Peter was afraid. The spirit of fear is not from God. The devil gives you the spirit of fear and the spirit of unbelief. It's never from God. And so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 reminds us, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, that's important, and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. The normal word used is phobos, or we get the word phobia, some fears that we might have. And in the Greek, this word really means cowardice, being a coward. The word lends itself in the original language to talking about cowards. And Strong's talks about the root word implying faithlessness, and not being faithful to God and being fearful. So a fearful people are faithless. Now, listen carefully to this statement. A fearful people are faithless, but faithful people are fearless. They fear less. If you're faithful to God and you're faithful in living right, you're going to fear less. It's not that they never fear. We all sometimes have some fears that come. But what do we do with those fears? And God has told us what to do with them. So it's not that they never fear, but that they're not gripped with the spirit of fear or the spirit of doubt or unbelieving. There, all of us tonight have some challenges, I would imagine, in our lives that we're thinking about. Can God handle them? Is God going to take care of it? Or are we going to be afraid and not trust Him? We have to trust Him. David said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." He never said, "I don't get afraid." But he said, "When I do get afraid, I'm going to trust in You, God. I'm going to look to You, because You're going to pull me out of this and You're going to help me." And he said, "I trust in Thee." Fear and faith can exist at the same time in the same person. It's hard to believe that, but it can. Fear and faith at the same time in the same person. We know that faith is trusting God more than you trust your doubts. That's what it really is. Trusting God more than your doubts. What are you doubting about tonight? You have any doubts in your heart and mind tonight? Well, if you have faith, then it's going to take care of those. And faith is trusting God more than you can trust. Even if it's only 1% more, it's still faith. It's still going to take care of it. Now, we want it to be higher than that, but that's the case. A father came with a demon-possessed son. And what did he say in Mark 9:24? "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." In other words, I just barely am making it, but help me with my unbelief. And all of us tonight probably need a little help there. Most people, by the way, who are not living right, who are not living for God, are people that are motivated by fear. They're motivated by fear. And so when they are not doing what God tells them to do. Take, for instance, the tithe. Why do people not tithe and give to the Lord's work? Probably because of fear. Because the devil is just as happy to scare you into sin as he is to dare you into sin. And so people say, "If I give, if I tithe, I'm not going to have enough money left. I'm not going to be able to pay the rent. I'm not going to be able to take care of my family's needs." And we have fears about a lot of different things that would come, and we don't trust God enough to believe that we can bring our tithe to God. Not only our tithe, but our giving above that. You cannot, as you know, outgive God. But the devil will try to keep you in fear in that area and say, "I just can't do it. There's no way." Fear will keep you from doing God's will. And so that's an important part of it. A lot of youth go wrong, and we wonder why they do sometimes. And one of the reasons, I believe, is because of fear. What will my friends think? What are they going to do? Look, if you're walking with God and you're on God's side and you're believing God and trusting God, don't worry about them. Don't worry about your peers, even adults where you're working on. Don't worry about that stuff. Just trust God. But a lot of times, a girl will give up her purity. Why? Because of fear. I may lose him if I don't cooperate with him. And if I don't get intimate with him, he may not love me and he may not want to be with me. Let me tell you, friend, Someone like that, you'd be better off to get rid of him right now anyway. If that's all he's after, and that's his main purpose, and you're just afraid because you might lose him, you need to get your eyes off of that and get your eyes back on God and forget that guy if that's the case. The best thing to do is just drop him. That's the best thing. But fear is a stronghold in action. It is a stronghold in action. And these are some of the explanations. Now, what are some of the evidences of stronghold of fear in our lives? That is the lack of faith. One is hopelessness regarding the future. I meet a lot of people when you're a pastor, and I've heard just about all of it. And I've heard people say, it'll never go my way. I'm doomed. I'm going to be kept down. I'm going to be going down the wrong path. I can't win this battle. And those are lies from the devil. They have a hopeless attitude. And they listen to the devil, who makes them think that they cannot have victory and cannot be overcomers. And that's a lie of Satan. How do I know that there's unbelief? Well, God's word tells us that. It gives us some teaching about unbelief. Turn to Jeremiah 29, if you can, right quick. It's somewhere over there in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 29, and look at what he's dealing with. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11, going through verse 14. And here's God speaking to him, and he's talking about Babylon and about going into captivity and what God will do. And he said in verse 11, "For I know," God is saying, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." What kind of thoughts did he have for him? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. He was saying to Jeremiah, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to take care of you. I told you I would, and I'm absolutely going to take care of you, and you're going to come back from Babylon. There'll be 70 years. You'll be back in the land, and I'm going to prosper you and bless you when you come back. And so Jeremiah had to believe what God was telling him. Now, the lie from the devil about a future, there's no hope for it. That's exactly what it is. I have met some people who it just breaks your heart, absolutely breaks your heart, when you see them post something or you meet them and you talk to them, and they're absolutely down. They say, I can never be right. I'll never be able to live for God. I'm depressed. I'm a person that really is so depressed, I want to take my own life. And you have people that are out there like that, and they just absolutely think there is no future, that God can't take care of that. And I wish I could just plant it in their brains and in their mind and somehow get them to listen well enough to know that God is going to take care of them. They don't have to worry. They don't have to feel that way. And yet a lot of people feel that way, or they're depressed because of certain things in their lives, and that needs to be changed. So the devil said there's no hope, and that was a lie. Israel believed, some of them believed that, but Jeremiah believed God, and they couldn't see their way out. But let me tell you something. God had a plan, didn't he? And God always has a plan. He always has a plan for each one of us individually. God knows you tonight. God knows me. He loves you. He loves me. God has a plan for our lives. Don't worry about it. Don't be fretful over it. God's on the throne. God has a plan, and he had a plan for Jeremiah, and he reminded him of that. Then another evidence is constant worry. Somebody said it this way, worry is the interest you pay on borrowed troubles. Worry is the interest you pay on borrowed troubles. I'm sure that some people came in here tonight worrying about things, worrying about different things. That doesn't please God. As I mentioned a while back, it gives you something to do. It's like rocking in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. What good does worry do? Has it ever helped you? You can't add anything to your height, subtract it. You can't do any of those things. God says, I'm in charge. Don't worry. But what if my car breaks down? I expect it to break down any time. Don't worry. God will take care of it. Somehow, some way, he'll take care of it. I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. Some people are always worried about losing their job. God might give you a better one. It might be the best thing that ever happened to you. We wouldn't think so. I'm worried I may have cancer. I'm afraid I'm going to get cancer. Some other folks have it, and I'm just worrying myself to death about it. And I'm afraid cancer is going to come back. It's been there. I'm going to die early in life. Some people just worry about all kinds of things. Well, turn to Matthew chapter 6. You're familiar with that. See what Jesus said about worrying about things. See, that can be a stronghold. It is a stronghold of unbelief, unbelieving. Matthew 6 and verse 27, going through verse 34. See what Jesus said about it. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can any of you make yourself taller right now because you're thinking it? No. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon, just one lily. Then he said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of unbelief or little faith? Therefore, summarizes it, take no thought, saying, what shall we wear, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, that's what unsaved people think about all the time. All of that kind of thing. That's what the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But here's the priority, right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. That doesn't mean it's wrong to plan the day, but don't worry. Don't fret, and don't fail to think God's in charge. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. That is true. But God just tells us, don't worry about things. Believe. Believe me. It's not the power of positive thinking. You might get let down with that one. It's the power of thinking about God and knowing God's power and what God can do, and God will take care of it. Jesus didn't say this. He didn't say, don't worry because there will be no problems. That's not what he was saying. There will be problems. But in the midst of those problems, we're not to worry. We're to trust God because whatever they are, whenever they come, he'll take care of them. He takes care of the little sparrow. He takes care of the flowers. He takes care of all of these things he's talked about. So what does worry do in our lives? It's a stronghold that hurts us and hinders us, and it demonstrates a lack of faith in our lives. Remember, without faith, you can't please God. And you have to have faith in order to please him. So worry demonstrates a lack of faith, saying we don't trust God to know and to do what is best in our life, in my life, and in your life. What is best, God will allow and God will do. And so I saw a poster, heard about a poster, what was a panda out in the woods, and the bamboo shoots were around, and he was holding a bamboo shoot. And the caption underneath said, "Don't tell me worry doesn't help. The things I worry about never happen." Think about that one a while. The things I worry about never happen. I guess some people excuse it for that reason. But worry never prevents a problem, but worry causes problems. Unbelieving, not trusting God in all of it. What kind of problems does it cause? Insomnia, loss of sleep, high blood pressure, weight gain, all of those things, and many others that go along with it. Worry is a symptom of a stronghold. Worry is a symptom of unbelief. So some unbelieving evidence would be the inability to trust. Inability to trust people. Afraid to trust God, afraid to trust others. Afraid if you do, you're going to get hurt. People are going to hurt you from time to time. You will get hurt. Whether you're afraid to trust God or you're afraid to trust other people, eventually you're going to get hurt. It's just part of it. It comes with a package. But the problem is some people cling, hold on to their pain. They cling to it. What are we talking about? Well, Charles Dickens in Great Expectation, Miss Havisham was jilted on her wedding day. And the man was only after her money, it was said, in this. And he stopped all the clocks at 8:40 when that happened, the minute she got the news. Decades later, she's still wearing her wedding dress. Still wearing her wedding dress and left the rod on the dining room table. Now, friend, that's sick. I mean, that's really bad. But some of us are almost that bad. With the worry that we pull into our lives, worrying about the past, worrying about things that have happened, all of those things. We don't need to cling to our past problems and past worries. We need to trust God today. Some people cling to that pain and they get hurt. Elbert Hubbard said this. This is so important. Listen to it and you may want to write it down. To avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. Do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. You won't be criticized. Just sit in the corner and be real quiet. But if you're going to serve God and do right, you're going to have some hurts. You're going to have some things that happen. But don't let that keep you from loving people and stepping out. Sure, they're going to hurt you, and it's going to happen. It happens in church work. It happens in other situations. But you just have to look to God. Don't build walls around you. I know some people have built walls around them. They don't want to fellowship. They don't want to be social. They just want to be left alone because they don't want to get close to people. And that'll keep you from loving people. So be careful with that. Let's hurry up and finish up on this last part here. More times in your life you'll discover that you are loved than the times you're not loved, if you'll just admit it. And that should encourage you. Sometimes you feel like, nah, they just don't love me. They don't care about me anymore. But if you'll stop and think of all the people that do love you and all the people that do encourage you, then you can keep going and move forward. So how do we strengthen our faith? How do we get the belief system up where it ought to be? How do we pull out of unbelief and worry and all of those things that go with it? Well, number one, of course, is the Word of God. It's the Word. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? By the Word of God. So if you don't want to worry and don't want to fret, and if you're having problems trusting God about your own life and about your future and what's going to happen to you, get in the Word of God, read the Word of God, get some verses that deal with that, and the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So are you fearful tonight? Are you discouraged. If you are, trust God's word. Don't trust your emotions. Don't trust your heart, because your emotions and your heart will play tricks on you. Your emotions and your heart will do you in if you're not careful. Don't let that happen. But exercise that exercise of going to the Word of God. And he tells us to do that. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Let that comfort you tonight. Where's Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? He's one thing he's doing for sure, making intercession for you. Everything's going to be all right. He's saying, Father, help him and help her and help Brother Weaver and help Brother Gillett and help all these other folks. And he knows who we are. I don't know how he does that, but he does it. And he's making intercession for us. That ought to encourage us tonight to know that we have someone making intercession for us. It's not some cardinal in Rome that's going to the Pope and interceding for us, or going to Mary and interceding for us. It is Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father interceding for you tonight. He loves you and he loves me. And so we have to do that. Trust the word and exercise. When you focus on the promise of God and what God has said, then your problems grow a lot smaller. You know, it's hard for the devil, it really is, hard for Satan to get praising, thankful people off track. Dr. Barber preached about being on track. If you're a thankful person, and if you're a person of faith, and you're trusting God, and always talking about the goodness of God, the grace of God, the provision of God, it's easier for you to stay on track. It's easier for you to believe. But gripers and complainers and doubters and whiners and negative people and those who have self-pity all the time, and we could name a lot of other things, they end up with strongholds of unbelief. And therefore, their function in serving God is just mediocre. You must have faith. You must believe. You must exercise that faith. Here's a little poetry. All your anxiety. Is there a heart o'erbound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend so swift to help you. No other friend so quick to hear. Sometimes it's hard to get people to listen to you, isn't it? Not the Lord. No other place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. Come then at once, delay no longer. Heed his entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all of your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Never a friend like him. Here's what we need to do is pull down the strongholds. Worry and unbelieving, that's one of them. Addictions of every kind, drugs, alcohol, pornography, sex sins. Satan just wants to get some territory in your heart. And he can work out from that territory. If he can just get a stronghold, he can do a lot of damage. Pride, self-centeredness, anger, bitterness, a hot temper, self-pity, a critical spirit. In essence, it's anything you put before God. Anything you put before God. That can be a stronghold in your life. It may be sports. It may be something else. But where's the filter? Remember, it's the Word of God. Run it through here. Run it through the Word. Stay in the Word. Run it through the Word. Confess your sin. Not only confess it, see it like God sees it, but forsake it and resist the devil. We have the right to do that, and we're taught to do that. told to do that. And remember that Satan does not have your future. God has your future. And God is on the throne. Get rid of those strongholds in your life. Fear, doubt, anxiety. You can name them. And some of you, the Holy Spirit is naming right now in your own heart. Turn them over to God. Let God handle it. Have peace in your heart. And get rid of the strongholds so you can be a powerful, effective, God-honoring, Christ-lifting up Christian in your Christian life. And God will bless that. Let's stand, please. We'll always have an invitation. Perhaps you have a burden or something you want to pray about tonight. Whatever it may be, it may be that you're worried. It may be some unbelief. It may be something else. God and you know. But you come. We're not pulling and pushing for altar calls, but you know if God's spoken to you. And sometimes it's good just to come talk to the Lord about it. Heavenly Father, I pray now you would use the truth of the Word of God in our hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would get rid of any kind of strongholds that are in our life tonight, that would tear them down. Doubt and fear and self-pity and pride and other sins that do not belong there, and we know they don't belong there. And so, Father, help us to get rid of them so we can be what you want us to be. So we can look back on our lives and at the end of the day we can say that we believe you'll look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've gotten rid of those strongholds. Oh, Lord, help us to realize that Christians with strongholds hurts the church. It hurts families. It hurts the individual. And I pray that we'd deal with them as you would have us to. In Christ's name, amen. If you're here without Christ, the greatest stronghold is keeping you from being saved. The devil says, don't believe it. He's got you duped, fooled, and not believing. Come tonight. Come tonight and get rid of the devil's stronghold. Ask him to save you tonight, and he'll do it. Don't let him keep lying to you. May God help us to do that. Will you come while we sing together?